I don't.
Morning, Dave.
I don't.
Morning.
Morning, Dave.
Morning, Tom.
Good morning. I'm bringing to order a special board meeting on June 4th, 2019, of the Forest Practices Board. Patricia, are you ready for a briefing, please?
Sure.
Good morning and welcome to the Natural Resources Building. Please silence any noise-making devices you have. In the event of a fire, alarms will sound and flash. In the event of an earthquake, alarms may not sound and flash. Please drop to the floor and cover your head as best as you can, or go under the table. And that's the same for those of you on the phone. Please go under a table or cover your head. In any evacuation of the building, staff will lead you out of the building using the double doors in the front of the room. Then the first door on your left, moving east towards the grassy area along Jefferson Street. Once there, DNR employees are trained and equipped to assist you in checking in and handling any emergencies or injuries that you have. In the event of a building lockdown, staff will communicate the situation to everyone in the room and proceed to secure the room by turning off the lights, closing the blinds, and locking all the doors. Please remain quiet and make sure you silence your cell phone. Remove yourself away from doors and windows. DNR staff will announce when the situation has cleared. Thank you.
And if board members would introduce themselves, board member Capper, would you start, please?
Mr. Chairman, good morning. My name is Patrick Capper. I'm the Deputy Director of the Washington State Department of Agriculture.
Good morning, Bob Gunther. I am a public member and represent the small forest landowners.
Good morning, Jeff Davis. I am the Department of Fish and Wildlife Director designee.
Stephen Lamath, Chair of the Forest Practice Board and designee for the Commissioner of Public Lands.
Good morning, I'm Paula Swedine, a general public member.
Carmen Smith, representing the contract loggers.
Good morning, I'm Tom Nelson, general public member.
Good morning, I'm Dave Herrera, general public member.
Lisa, would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, good morning. Lisa Janicki here, representing the elected county officials.
Noel?
Good morning. I'm Noel Willett, Timber Products labor representative.
Brad?
Good morning. Benjamin Sir, Department of Commerce, director's designee.
And good morning, this is Brent Davis, general public member.
Thank you, staff.
Good morning, Jerry Kranick, DNR Forest Practices Division Manager.
Phil Ferrister, Attorney General's Office.
Good morning, Mark Engel, Forest Practices Assistant Division Manager.
Trisha Anderson, DNR staff.
Thank you. All right, so, this is a special board meeting with just one agenda item, really, and that is to finish up business from the last board meeting, in that we didn't have time to complete both finessing and voting on a motion on next steps of the water tape rule. I think we listened to a lot of public comment and heard a couple of things. One is that they wanted the board to stay in control of this rulemaking, and they wanted a subcommittee in particular to work towards with stakeholders to resolve some of the outstanding concerns, if that can be done. And so what's going to happen is Mark's going to come up to the front, and he's going to provide a staff recommendation on next steps for the water taping system. And he's going to talk through
what he's based that on as far as public comment and board discussion at the end of the last meeting. Then we will take public comment after that. And of course, Mark can take questions about what he is recommending. We can take public comment, and then we'll have board discussion on next steps and how you want to look at things. So, Mark, welcome. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board, again. I'm Mark Engel. I'm the Forest Practices Assistant Division Manager for Policy and Services. At the board's May 8th meeting, the first meeting in May, the first day of the meeting in May, staff was directed to draft a motion on next steps for the development of the water typing system rule for the board to consider at today's special meeting. The primary elements of the motion were discussed by the board at the last meeting. You had a draft motion displayed of which the board did not vote. That motion basically directed DNR staff to continue work on the water typing system rule packet and the formation of a board committee to resolve outstanding issues. To prepare a staff recommendation, staff reviewed and arranged in the categories the public comments that the board received at the May meeting. And these include, and I'll go through, it's real long, so I'm not going to subject you to 20 plus minutes, but I will give you a high level accounting of all the comments brought forward. But these things are important for the board to consider today when you decide on the next steps. The first was support for a board committee to retain ownership of the development of the water typing system rule, with DNR facilitating the process through the consolidation of technical and professional folks to achieve success, to establish a collaborative approach to solving the outstanding rulemaking issues, for the spatial analysis, for the draft rule language, and the anadromous fish floor, and to determine options for how to resolve the issues around the validation study and the physical study. Additional public comments on elements for consideration are for the PHB spatial analysis. There are many comments for the committee to ensure that the PHB options and the anadromous fish floor alternatives are captured correctly in the draft rule and for the analysis. To ensure the PHB spatial analysis is completed, including the PHB width analysis, comparing the DNR and industrial landowner spatial analysis, and assembling stakeholders' expertise to collaboratively complete the PHB spatial analysis. For the draft rule language, the committee will assess the need for inclusion in the water typing system rule, a LIDAR-based model map, and to review and clarify the off-channel habitat definition to assure alignment with policy's recommendation. There were other people expressed that there were other elements that needed to be discussed, but they were not brought forth as these two were. So these were the two that the board heard. For the anadromous fish floor, the committee will, through a stakeholder process, develop recommendations for the full board of the goals for the anadromous fish floor, determine if the anadromous fish floor did go through the adaptive management process, or establish the process in which to analyze and establish an anadromous fish floor, including options to send the anadromous fish floor issue back to policy, and ensuring a collaborative process is followed, clearly defining the problems to solve and holding policy accountable for the development of the floor, or direct staff to work with stakeholders, either policy or work groups, to identify the process and complete the analysis to develop an anadromous fish floor, or to review the Western Washington Tribal product to take through the adaptive management process. All of these were brought forward at the meeting for the board to consider. Also, regarding the anadromous fish floor, was to continue the water typing system rulemaking process without separating the NAVRA's HR and PHBs in the rulemaking. To this, the Western Washington Tribes expressed the desire to adopt FHAM as part of the rule, hold off on adopting PHB criteria and an anadromous fish floor until a validation study is done, put the 10% fish habitat gradient floor into the board manual, and rely on using default screen physicals in conjunction with electrofishing. And finally, regarding the anadromous fish floor, to consider funding for a floor study, but not as part of the PHB validation study. For the issues around the validation and physical studies, the committee will consider approval and funding of the PHB validation study, combining the PHB validation and the physical study, and there was a request to fast-track both studies. The next major element was to support for staff to continue development of the water tightening system rule packet. There were examples brought forward, but basically it was a request that the board chair direct staff to continue work to complete those aspects of the water tightening system rulemaking guidance or menu guidance, preliminary cost benefit analysis and SBIS, and the environmental analysis based on a draft rule, but those elements which do not depend on the spatial anadromous spatial analysis for PHB or the anadromous floor. This said, Patricia.
Pause for effect here.
Yeah, it seems to be working.
We're supposed to be doing a drum roll.
So,
well, yeah, for us old people, can
I was gonna
that
say,
there.
Thank you.
Maybe put it full width screen.
I'll just slowly go through them. So. Staff recommendation for potential elements for inclusion.
Next one down.
In a Trisha. Whoa, I really got some.
There we go. Wow.
So first, establish a board committee to facilitate staff and policy caucuses. Discussions to work to resolve the outstanding issues associated with the proposed water tightening system rule. Specifically to understand the spatial analysis and to work to resolve whether width can be precisely estimated for the purposes of the required economic and environmental analysis. Determine whether caucuses can move towards fewer PHB options. Determine if the Eastern Washington data and analysis, that's PHB analysis, is sufficient for rulemaking. Determine if and when the PHB validation study should be done, and whether it should be combined with the study to determine physicals, and determine if rule language or resolution or other non-rule options would suitably encourage moving forward towards the LIDAR model map-based water tightening rule as time and resources allow. Second point or recommendation is to request the board committee report back to the board on its progress at the August 2019 meeting, with recommendations given to the board on how to move forward at the November meeting. Send the issues of the anadromous fish floor and the road crossing structures back to policy with intent for policy to identify the objectives for inclusion of an anadromous fish floor to the water tightening system rule and road water crossing structures into the road phase. Include what metrics or other tools or data could be used for analysis and rule implementation. This would include the tribal anadromous information. Policy will report back to the board committee on a monthly basis until either a final consensus recommendation or a majority-minority report are presented to policy by policy to the board. And finally, request the board chair to ensure that staff continues working towards completing those aspects, the water typing system rulemaking guidance. Sounded good to me. So, preliminary cost benefit analysis and SBIS, and environmental analysis based on the draft rule, and which does not depend on the spatial analysis for the anadromous fish floor or the PHB options. Board staff will provide an update to at the August board meeting.
So, Tricia, can you go to the next page, please? Okay, so staff has provided the board with a recommendation. Let's get questions of clarification at this time, and then we can go to the public comment after that. Paula. Board member Sadeen.
I'm not even sure I know where to start. So this looks different than what I had in mind at the May board meeting. And the biggest thing is that paragraph about sending the anadromous floor back to policy and allowing what looks like a timeline that's not tethered to that November board meeting, and having you guys move ahead with analysis that doesn't have to do with like the major things that you actually need to analyze to make the process go forward. So this looks like it is right for months and months and months and months of delay. And so I'm trying to figure out how to ask questions. My biggest question is like, how did we get here? I mean, we as the board directed staff to do the APA required analyses a year ago May. Actually, it might have been 2 years ago May, with the intent of filing CR 102 in May of 2018. You came back to us and said that wasn't possible. We're gonna do it in May of 2019. So, I mean, can you spend a little time describing to us how it is in June of 2019 that we still have all of these process steps ahead of us? And you know, you guys have undertaken and contracted with highly professional, highly technical, competent firms to do the analysis, and we haven't seen that yet. We've heard that at least one caucus disagrees or has issues with the analysis, but we haven't had a chance as an entire board to understand what those issues are, to see a completed analysis, to you know, be able to move forward with rulemaking and to have like a complete understanding of the analyses that you've done. And it's based on things that are opaque. It's based on a sense that, you know, industry has a set of data that's different than your set of data, and you guys did the analyses in a different way and they don't match. Is that relevant to our rulemaking? I mean, we asked you to do an analysis and bring it back to us. Other parties are saying, in a way that the board really hasn't had a chance to understand or dig into, that they don't like the way the analysis is being done, so the analysis has slowed down, and we haven't had a chance to see it yet. So it doesn't, you know, again, I mean, I still have this feeling like, you know, you guys as staff are making decisions, or one or two stakeholder groups are influencing the process, and what we have directed you to do is not being done. And I really want to understand that a little bit better before we vote on this motion, because all of those elements of the motion, again, they look to me like we're going to send a huge part of this back to policy with no deadline, and policy can run it through, and someone at policy, some member of policy can decide that they're not going to allow a consensus decision to go forward, and that has to go to dispute resolution, and the major components that we need to be able to make this rule are not going to be done by 2019, or by November 2019, not going to be able to file a CR 102 by then. I have a real problem with that. So I'd like to understand, it feels like we're in a Franz Kafka novel, and we're in this like Byzantine bureaucratic mess that we can't get out of, and I really want to understand why it is that we're here.
So, Mark, would you reiterate that, you know, our analysis has been out there for the public to review since December, and then go on to talk about where you are at with the economic analysis with the work group, please?
Yeah, the manner in which DNR collected the data and performed the analysis was outlined in December of last year, December of 18. The analysis was run, and then based on that that spatial analysis, we did contract the cost-benefit analysis to be prepared. There's two elements to talk about here. First is the spatial analysis that has been a subject of people have questioned it and want to bore in deeper on exactly how we saw the PHBs. And this motion would address that issue straight up, and that is, some people are concerned that we have not entirely captured exactly what each of the three caucuses wanted in their PHBs, so this would do that. It would also then discuss what elements, which PHBs were identified in our spatial analysis, and then compare with other caucuses as to if they have the ability to see PHBs, the precision. That is an issue that is somewhat separate from the cost-benefit analysis, but it's a required part of both the cost-benefit as well as the environmental analysis.
Mark, in your recommendation, isn't width the issue
yes.
on the PHB analysis, on the
spatial
analysis?
Width is, as well as the anadromous fish floor. The anadromous fish floor is heavily dependent on how we interpreted anadromous fish floor is brought forward to the board in February is it 18? So, and then in August of 18, we did go back to the caucuses to have them finalized. We needed to lock them down in order to do the analysis. But apparently there's still people that question whether that is correct or not. So this would be part of the subcommittee.
Now, Mark, as far as we don't have that in the motion. What we have is width, and we have whether we can move towards a fewer PHB motions, right?
That was not in the motion. That was a topic that we wanted to bring forward was clarification of the PHB options as well as the anadromous fish floor. So that would need to be added.
Yes. So it sounds to me like you're running the analytical process as a consensus process, as if all of the stakeholders need to agree with exactly every step and every piece of the analysis that you do in order for it to be considered valid and in order for us to move ahead. And because this is such a complex analysis, that sounds to me like a recipe for bring me a rock and we'll see this analysis done in about 5 years. So I'm wondering where in law, where in rule, where in any of this procedural stuff does it say that every stakeholder involved in this process has to agree with every analytical step that you take in completing the required documentation for the rulemaking? I mean, if there's massive mistakes, if there's I can understand wanting to make sure that there's confidence in the analysis, but this feels, again, a little Byzantine. This feels like, you know, we're pulling a process together
and opening up the ability of this to move forward to the ability of anyone to say, I don't agree with how you did that step, and therefore we can't move forward. And that troubles me.
Mr. Chairman.
Board Member Nelson.
Yeah, a couple of points. First of all, I think it's important to remember that the entire PHB process came forward as a proposal from the landowners themselves. And that wasn't the only one. There's a tribal option in there. There are different things. So I think instead of considering it to be some sort of consensus process on spatial analysis, at least my intent when we ask DNR to go back and work with the proponents of all of the alternatives, it was to make sure that the folks who had proposed the alternative actually had their alternative interpreted correctly in the analysis. So I don't see it as a consensus process. I see it more of verifying that the alternative presented to us was analyzed correctly, first of all. Second of all, on the timeline issue, I understand your concern for it, and you've been up here a lot longer than I have. But I do think that personally, part of our problem has been imposed timelines from us or implied and promised timelines from staff that weren't realistic. And I would much prefer to see the process work forward with whatever time they need. If we have a subcommittee, I think part of that will be to hold their feet to the floor so that this doesn't get dragged out unnecessarily. But I think it's more important to do this properly. This is a permanent rule we're talking about, and not to put something out there that isn't going to be implemented readily or lasting as a solution to the concerns. So I just want to throw those out.
Thank you. Mark, you didn't address the question of where we are on the economic analysis.
Before I do that, and kind of summarize this, the conversation right now, DNR is staff to the board. So the product that we're building is your product. And this recommendation would be for these questions about the status of the analysis to come before the subcommittee for a decision can be made as to whether we go forward or not. And that was the main part of the staff recommendation. These are issues that were expressed at the last meeting. Staff, in keeping with the request of the board, looked at all of the comments and put together recommendations based on the board discussion as well as those issues that were brought forward to the board for the board to address. There is work that we can do on the cost-benefit analysis, and that is on the elements or the values within the analysis. We have convened reconvened the economic work group, the advisory group, to look at those elements and to make sure that the analysis is succinct and that it's addressing all of the values in a manner in which the board can review the analysis, the results of the analysis. Also, a part of it is a decision as far as the qualitative benefits, and that is a conversation that the economic work group has to undertake. The economic analysis was delayed for a while we were putting together the spatial analysis. The spatial analysis is extremely important for any company to put together a cost-benefit analysis. But there is work we can do and very meaningful work that we can continue to do in the absence of any sort of additional spatial analysis, but within the results itself, within the cost-benefit analysis.
So Mark, if the board asked you how long before the economic analysis is complete, and working with the work group, and how close are we? I mean, other than the fact that the qualitative piece needs to be done.
There are some questions, and I'm not an economist, but in listening to the conversations, they seem very valid to me. Things about like discount rates and then estimates of fish populations, which I think can be addressed by the work group. I would say the best answer to that question would be a report from DNR at the August meeting, because we need to have a number of meetings, convene a number of meetings and begin to address the issues before I can give any sort of estimate to the board as to when we believe we could have it done.
And then she also asked about the status of the CEPA analysis.
The CEPA analysis, staff was waiting for the results of the spatial analysis in order to complete the CEPA analysis. So with a decision about the spatial analysis, then the CEPA analysis.
Excuse me, Mark, could you speak up a little bit, please?
This cord is tight. Oh, there we go. I pulled it a little bit. So the staff was waiting for the results of the spatial analysis. Is it still off?
Just move the table forward. You're all taped down here.
Oh, is that what's wrong? Yeah. Oh, there we go. Is that better, board member Davis?
A little bit, yes. Thanks.
Okay. So again, to answer, staff is waiting for the results of the spatial analysis to complete the environmental analysis.
But the spatial analysis has been done. There's disagreement over whether or not it was done correctly or not, but it's been done since December.
That's correct.
So why have you been waiting? It's June. It's been done. I mean, there's disagreement over it, obviously, but it has been done. And so who and when was the decision made to hold off? Because the spatial analysis has been completed, but someone apparently decided that because it was contentious that you weren't going to move ahead.
I don't think they're not moving ahead. I think they're still working with your work group.
No, I'm talking about CEPA. He said he was waiting for the spatial analysis, and the spatial analysis has been done since December. And so I'm wondering why they haven't moved ahead with CEPA.
Well, there were elements within the cost benefit too, which addressed the environment, and we wanted completion of that as well.
Okay, other questions of clarification? For board members.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I understand the overall, the 50,000 foot look here, what we're talking about is proceeding with the PHB portion, getting these discrepancies in spatial analysis cleared up, proceeding with the PHB portion of the rulemaking, but doing something different with the anadromous floor, whether that's going some other direction, going back through AMPA, or not, but it's kind of bifurcating the two. It would have to be, in my case, with the promise that we're going to not push one forward and forget about the second. And I think that's a little bit different than what we talked about before.
That's actually not what the staff recommendation, if I understand it correctly, is. It's to send it back to policy and tell us, do we have consensus on this or not? And what is it, meaning the anadromous floor? And if they don't have consensus, giving a majority-minority report to the board as soon as possible. We don't have as soon as possible in there, but that's the intent. And to be talking to the board committee about that on a regular basis to keep their feet to the fire. That's the intent.
That helps clarify. Thanks.
Any other clarifications before we move to public comment?
Maybe.
Board member Davis.
So, just clarification on the estimated timeline, and I know this is complicated. But if this goes back to policy, I'd be shocked if there was consensus. So we would be really in dispute resolution to get a majority-minority report. How fast can that happen? I'm sensitive to Board Member Swedeen and the time that we've spent on this, and we have other stuff the that's equally as important to get to. So I'm just wondering, what sort of time frame would we be talking about, best case, worst case scenario, going through dispute resolution?
And if Tara would like to come up to the table, she's welcome.
I
just to spread the fun.
She's super excited.
I could address the best case scenario, and that would be that the issue comes before policy. A majority-minority report can come through the board as a result of policy going through both stage one and stage two of dispute resolution. If policy, in discussing the issue, determines that it would be futile to go through stage one, and we know for that we're going to have to go to stage two, then policy could initiate stage two of dispute resolution. And I believe that is a 5-month process. So that would be the optimistic or the fast track.
I also just want to bring to attention our work plan for the next couple of months, that as it stands right now, we have very heavy agendas that are dealing with a lot of the things related to Type N. And so at the board's direction, we could delay those items to address this item to expedite this process, or follow our current work plan and integrate the time to have a robust conversation. As a co-chair, my goal is not to go to dispute resolution with anything and to try and resolve it in the forums that we have. So, recognizing our agenda and the times, I would say, if we wanted to delay our Type N work, the earliest we could start working on this is our July meeting, which would require a number of items from staff and from the AMPA to ensure that forum was set up for success in terms of background material and information and a clear ask. I'll be completely honest, I don't exactly know what you're asking of us in this right now, just the way things are written. It's not transparent to me. I wouldn't really know how to facilitate that for policy. So we would need some clarification maybe from the work group about what specifically was being asked of us. And then I would assume if we're not planning to go and bring something to policy for the sake of it going to dispute resolution, you're probably looking at 2 to 3 meetings where this is an agenda item, if this is a controversial agenda item that has differing opinions. So it's not just as easy as a trigger dispute right away and go to 5 months unless that's what you want us to do.
I will add that that's not unprecedented. The board in November of, I forget which year, it was the presentation, I believe 16, directed policy to go into dispute resolution to finish the recommendations to bring to the board at the board's May meeting. And policy was able to accommodate that. We did go into stage two of dispute resolution. And out of that came the recommendations, that complete packet that was brought to the board at your May 2017 meeting. Also, the mediated process is separate than that standard policy meetings. The state policy still conducted its monthly meetings. The mediated process was run in parallel. But there is required time as part of either level one or level two dispute resolution.
Member Sweeney.
So I don't know if we want to go to public comment first, but I have an alternate proposal to what you have up there. And if we want to discuss that after we've heard public comment, that's fine.
That's fine.
If you want to.
Yeah, let's wait for public comment.
Don't mind.
Okay. Any other questions of clarification on the staff recommendation? Okay, hearing none, let's go to public comment.
Motion in May of July, sir.
Yeah.
It may have been such
a Mr. Miller.
I Good morning, Chairman Bernath and members of the board. For the record, I'm Ken Miller, co-representative for Smalls at TFW Policy. As stated at previous board meetings, this topic is far too complex for Smalls to understand, but not too complex for it to feel like a taking without a reason, at least that we can see. The adaptive management program got all tangled in the process knots, and it appears you may be headed down that same pathway without a solid foundation of a common problem statement, nor a common vision for balance between the four legs of forest and fish. We have interim stream typing rules, so we've collectively spent thousands of hours and likely millions of dollars for well over a decade trying to get to permanent rules. Maybe we're trying to fix something that is only broken because of the word interim. As you go further down the pathway envisioned today, many or most of you will likely increasingly see the futility of solving an unclearly defined problem. The take no action option will likely start looking even better than today. What is broken in our current stream typing system is the small forest landowner's reliance on ultra-conservative physical default system because the state has yet to provide the technical assistance required by forest and fish. Our inability to obtain or afford the far more accurate protocol surveys means we're leaving far more trees than could possibly help fish or fish habitat. We need the assistance required, or a map-based system that now appears to be more accurately achievable with current LIDAR technology. Until there is a clearer consensus around the problem and win-win solutions that look at perhaps moving trees around rather than simply more take, I believe the real solution will remain out of your reach. Going forward on such tenuous footing feels like a lose-lose food fight that hurts everyone, and very likely another finding of disproportionate impact on Smalls requiring further mitigation. There just has to be a better way to respect the actual needs of fish and those of us providing the habitat. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ken. Jim Peters.
Good morning. My name is Jim Peters, representing the Western Washington Tribes. Chairman Bernath and the board members, we have a potential pathway forward for the anadromous floor as a part of the rulemaking for water typing. Consider initiating a multi-stakeholders process that includes board, policy, and technical participants. Participating stakeholders agree to oversee and guide the technical work group tasked with analyzing and summarizing the relationship between anadromous fish distribution and stream characterizations, including gradient in multiple Western Washington watersheds. Membership and roles and responsibilities in the technical work group will be clearly defined. And the work group will comprise of people with appropriate technical skills to conduct and report the results of the and the analyst. The primary purpose of the work group will be to summarize the floor/overlay. The technical group will also consider and provide information on different options and implementing the anadromous floor. Taking into account the need for operationally feasible and repeatable rule, the results of the analyst are analyzed, done by the technical work group will be forwarded to the board members for their consideration when deciding on draft water quality stream system rule. The process will follow current TFW ground rules. Now, when we wrote this up, we understand that we were in a board process, so we're not necessarily talking about a consensus type of thing, but that we would follow some of the other rules that we apply to at policy, like looking to resolve each other's issues and listening and being making comments or clarifications of each other's positions on these. This effort would be governed by a charter, and then will be regularly communicated between the stakeholder participants and the members of the technical group, the members of the board. This process will have a 6-month to complete this mission. And this is where we didn't want a long delay in this process. And part of my previous testimony at the last board meeting, we had proposed something that we've been working on, and that we would like to be able to have a couple more watersheds with that same, and then bringing in all the caucuses to talk about how we get that stuff done. And we believe, based on how we did the Skagit system, we believe that using watersheds that have good fish data, and then also up-to-date LIDAR and then GIS support, should be able to get this done within a couple months if we have that information ready to go, and then the people that are able to focus on this. And so that's why we're putting a 6-month limitation, and I believe then that would be able to get us something forward to you guys at the, I think it was in the November board meeting. So. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark Brown.
Good morning. I'm Alec Brown, the policy rep for the Conservation Caucus. I don't know what I'm gonna say. So yesterday I read an interesting article in the Seattle Times that they spend $410 million to redo the waterfront for fish habitat. I was like, dang, that's a lot of money. But we're spending $14 million every 2 years. You know, you take that out 10 years, we're gonna get there by the end of this HCP. $400 million, and we're not going to have done that much. I'm up here not advocating for the proposal that we supported, the Western Tribal PHB proposal. What I'm asking is what we all want to accomplish in this program. You know, I'm seeing Member Davies and Member Sir's names here. You know, they come over from Spokane. It's far away. Board Member Janicki comes down. I don't know where Board Member Will lives. All of us are putting in a ton of effort. And to be hearing today that we don't have clarity on the PHBs when we spent 6 months in 2018 to clarify the PHBs and then made them official by board motion, it's pretty frustrating, and it makes me wonder why any of us want to go to these meetings. To hear that the analysis hasn't been done because the spatial analysis isn't complete, yet 3 minutes prior we heard that the spatial analysis was completed in December and a whole presentation was given to everyone, doesn't add up. And then the final comment I have about this whole today's meeting and then the last board meeting is I haven't heard a clear problem statement as to what we are trying to accomplish today. I mean, I think Ken Miller hit it on the head in that we need to know what we're trying to answer to come up with an answer. And you know, Ken was phrasing it in terms of a water taping system. I'm phrasing it in terms of today's meeting. In November, the board asked DNR to complete its economic analysis by May. Okay, that didn't get done. But that's it. That's all we heard. The next thing we hear is hey, can everyone please come up and tell us how to move forward? And so I was asked to come up, and Jim was asked to come up, and Ray came up, and Ray just said, what do you want? I remember him saying that last board meeting. He goes, what do you want? Because we weren't asked to answer anything because we don't know what the problem is today. It seems to me the last time the board spoke officially was to DNR to finish the analysis. That was supposed to be done in May. It's now June. Where is that? If there's another problem, then a question needs to be presented. And I haven't clearly heard that. I've heard indications that there's a problem with the enactment's floor, that perhaps people don't like the spatial analysis. If those are the questions, then they need to be presented clearly, is my guess. The other thing I'd mention, there's something in here, maybe it was just mentioned offhand, this thing can work on OCA, the off-channel habitat, and some other things that need to be clear in the rule. Maybe that was in the second slide, but I remember it being mentioned. You know, things like that, off-channel habitat already went to dispute resolution once and came out. So maybe it was just said offhand. And I'll remind you that this rulemaking has already gone to policy twice, gone through dispute resolution twice. And so if you send it back again, that's a third time. And it's just, you know, it's tough for us members to want to participate. Thanks.
Thank you, Alec. Steve Wormeyer.
Good morning, Chairman Burnap and members of the Forest Practice Board. My name is Steve Barnmeyer, along with Ken Miller. I represent small forest landowners and the Washington Farm Forestry Association on the TFW Policy Committee. My intent today is to reinforce the input I and others provided to the board during your May 8th and 9th meeting. In my opinion, all potential paths forward pertaining to successful resolution of the type F water typing rule issues must be based on open and honest collaboration at every stage of the process in the true spirit of TFW. Some progress and collaboration has already occurred between several caucuses and DNR staff since the May 8th and 9th meetings, notably pertaining to an anatomous floor component of rulemaking described by Jim Peters a little bit earlier. While distinct progress has been made, this ad hoc initiative associated with this single component of rulemaking should be opened up to all stakeholders and become more formalized into a multi-stakeholder process that includes the board, TFW policy, and appropriate technical participants from any and all of the TFW caucuses, and be tasked with addressing all pertinent components of a holistic type F water typing rulemaking effort. Specifically, I implore the Forest Practice Board to establish a board subcommittee to work with DNR staff and all TFW policy caucuses on a path forward on development of a permanent water typing, type F water typing rule. Clarify the problem or problems associated with the current interim type F water type rule. Clearly state or restate the specific performance objectives and criteria for any new type F water typing rule system and rule. Instruct staff, DNR staff, to work collaboratively with WFPA, other caucuses, and contractors with appropriate GIS spatial analysis expertise to properly complete and reconcile the spatial analysis performed on all the PHB alternatives adopted by the board the February 2018 meeting. Task the subcommittee with a specific and reasonable goal to refine and attempt to agree to a single PHB alternative as well as a potential single anadromous floor alternative that meets the stated objectives for a type F water typing system. Accurate as possible, balanced air, repeatable and easily implementable, minimizes electrofishing, etc. Utilizing the multi-stakeholder process mentioned above and including CEMER, develop more reasoned and cost-effective validation effort for any PHB and anadromous floor that is eventually adopted by the board. And finally, address the specific needs of small forest landowners associated with type F water typing by fully funding and supporting CEMER work to
first evaluate and recommend appropriate default physical criteria to accurately consistently identify the upstream extent of fish habitat, and two, specifically to develop a LIDAR-based logistic regression model that accurately predicts fish habitat across non-federal forest lines in Washington and avoids systematic bias. All of the recommendations above and any hope of success are predicated on meaningful collaboration between all caucuses, the full board, and DNR staff towards a common set of goals, specifically the four goals of the Forest and Fish Report. Thank you for this opportunity to provide input to you from the Small Forest Land Caucus and Washington County Forest Research.
Thank you, Steve. Darren Kramer.
Good morning, members of the board. Mr. Chairman, Darren Kramer, WFPA. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. Like Steve, I'm going to essentially say the same thing I did last time. But before I do that, I want to give some of the discussion this morning. I just want to remind folks that a lot of work has been done. I saw quite an inventory from Mark Engel at the last meeting. And while it's easy to focus on, and many of us have been focusing on what hasn't been done, there has been quite a bit accomplished over the last couple of years. And this is solid. That's the silver lining. But there's a few key things that need to happen, I think, in order for this to, for the board to be able to bring this home in a way that will stick. The board needs to be very clear about the performance objective for the water typing system. You know, qualitative narrative is a description is not adequate. That last time I mentioned this phrase out of the rule, potential habitat likely to be used by fish. What is that and how do you measure it? Until we get sharp on that, an outcome here that everybody buys into is going to be elusive. The spatial analysis needs to be completed, this time including the width component. That analysis, or the results of that reanalysis, needs to get incorporated into the CDA, the SBEIS, and the CEPA analysis. There were additional anadromous alternatives that we put forward that were not analyzed. Those need to be included in the spatial analysis. The purpose of and target for the anadromous floor needs to be clarified. Now, we're more than happy to work on that. It's very worth working on. We spent some time with commission staff and others over the last couple of weeks to get to the recommendation you heard from Jim, and we adamantly support that. But we have to be clear about what we're searching for in order to find a solution. As you heard from Jim, they are assembling some data, which is great. We have some information that's relevant, it's likely we're going to need more. A field component to prove out and refine both of the alternatives, PHBs and anadromous, is likely going to be necessary. We need to figure out a way to do that in a cost-effective and time-efficient manner, and we need to be clear about how that's going to be done. Is that science work going to be done fully consistent with the adaptive management system? We've not heard that yet. The folks that are working hard on that stuff are unclear about what their charge is. That's not fair to them, and we're not likely to have a good outcome if we're not clear about it. As you heard from Steve, there's other components of the rule here that are critically important. The default physical criteria, LIDAR-based model, those have not received the attention necessary. Those components could potentially be incorporated together into one or perhaps a couple of different field efforts. But in any case, we can't leave them behind while the rest of this moves forward. Finally, all the policy caucuses need to be meaningfully involved in this process. I think one of the explanations for why we're in a bit of a pickle right now is because that hasn't happened. And while there is disagreement on some of this stuff within policy, I think those gaps can be closed if we're clear about what we're shooting for. We may not have to go fully into adaptive management. I know there's concern about that, given that a couple of runs at that were not successful. But somehow, some way, the board needs to figure out how to get that involved in the meaningful way. And all this needs to be pulled together into a work plan and timeline and brought back to the board as soon as possible. We're on board with all of that and ready to roll up our sleeves and do the work. But the board is going to be need to be very clear on some of those finer points in order for us to be successful. Thank you.
Thank you, Darren. Martha Whalen.
Good morning, board members. For the record, my name is Martha Whalen. I am the Forest and Environmental Policy Council of the Washington Forest Protection Association. To begin with, I'd like to thank the board and DNR staff for their efforts to ensure that the final product in the rulemaking process is a defensible, permanent water typing rule, even if that requires additional time, like the special meeting that you're all at today. Just in the last 2 years, the board has decided multiple times to decide to slow down the rule process to gather data, evaluate alternatives, and ensure that the process is transparent. Decades of investment into the Forest Practices Program from the caucuses and DNR staff make it worthwhile to continue this rulemaking properly. I'm here today to ask the board, particularly those of you who were selected for the subcommittee, to review the board's prior minutes and presentations, especially the two water typing workshops that were held in 2016 and 2018. Many of the questions that were raised this morning have been discussed and resolved in those prior minutes that the board has already made. I'm sorry about that. The board has invested most of its time and significant resources over the last 3 years in water typing. With two rules in place since 2001, this is not a new issue, and it's been through several generations of board members whose prior policy decisions influenced the scope of options today. In particular, I'd first like to draw the board's attention to the challenges with timely completion of board tasks. In reviewing those 3 years of motions, we were able to timely complete 3 out of 16 tasks that the board assigned. That's 19%. With multiple changes to the AMPA this year, this could create additional complexity moving forward. Please consider this potential effect when you consider the timeline for the remainder of the process. Second, I'd like to remind the board that TFW policy did reach consensus on most issues. The board chose to address PHBs in August 2017 by obtaining an expert science panel to identify the 3 key components for PHBs. Although a decision-making process informed by science can move slowly, and I believe all caucuses share board member Swedeen's frustration, it results in gradual refinement and focus that ensures that any rulemaking meets the forest practices goals and objectives. Third, I'd like to echo the comments made by Ken Miller, Alec Brown, and Steve Barno-Meyer, and ask the board to require the first issue that the subcommittee addresses be identification of how the current rule isn't meeting the goals and objectives of the forest practices rules, because that answer will influence what rule changes still need to be made. And finally, it would be helpful to provide the caucuses and public with complex motions and alternative options like the one that Board Member Swedeen referenced before public comment so that we can provide effective public comment. I'm old now and I can't see those words from the back row to give you effective public comment on what works and doesn't work for my members. WFPA looks forward to working collaboratively with the subcommittee and the TFW policy caucuses to efficiently conclude the rulemaking process with a defensible rule. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna suggest we take a 10-minute break. Okay.